There's a pocket of southwest Detroit where some residential neighborhoods are islands surrounded by heavy industry. Many people who live in these neighborhoods say they're suffering from health problems, and they suspect pollution from the industries is to blame. But not everyone feels they can afford to move away, and some people choose to stay for other reasons. Michigan Radio's Rebecca Williams brings us the story.
A little more than 50 years ago, Dolores Leonard and her husband moved into their red brick ranch in Detroit.
And I selected it because the sun comes up in the morning over there, and I was thinking about my flowers.
They've raised their two kids here, and now they have four grandchildren and five great-grandchildren, and they all live nearby. But she says on any given day, she doesn't know what she'll smell when she steps outside.
Sometimes it's a kerosene odor. Sometimes it's a horrible stench like at a slaughterhouse. Sometimes you're out in the public and people will say, well, where do you live? And you say, oh, yes, I know that area, that stench. I don't see how those people live there.
There is zip code 48217. It's a corner of southwest Detroit packed with heavy industry. There's the state's only oil refinery owned by Marathon Petroleum, the salt mine, the city's wastewater treatment plant, DTE's coal-burning power plant, Severstal Steel, and many more. Dolores Leonard grew up just a few streets over in River Rouge. She remembers asking her dad why people were covering their cars with tarps.
And he said it was because of the fallout, the pollution. Well, if they're covering their cars so that the paint pigmentation won't peel, then what happens to the person who lives and who's breathing all of this stuff?
Like Dolores Leonard, a lot of people have lived here their whole lives.
In my block, there are 17 people who have died of cancer. I don't know, I can't say it's cancer from where, because we're sandwiched between a lot of industry.
So why do these neighborhoods look like this? Rin Farley says it all dates back to the late 1800s. He's a research scientist at the Institute for Social Research at the University of Michigan. He says a lot of raw materials and products were shipped on the Great Lakes, so it made sense for industries to locate in southwest Detroit.
And workers tended to congregate very close to where they worked, and so a lot of what you'd call working men's homes were built there.
They were built very close to factories, so people could walk to work. Farley says most of the industries in southwest Detroit were there by the time World War I began. Some factories have shut down. Others have expanded. Farley says over the decades, federal housing policies and discriminatory lending practices called redlining were used to help white families move to the suburbs and keep minorities out of the suburbs.
For a period of time, the racial practices were responsible for keeping blacks in densely settled neighborhoods in the city of Detroit, many of them close to factories.
He says redlining was made illegal in the 1970s, and many black families who could afford to move away from the factories did. These neighborhoods of southwest Detroit close to heavy industry are now racially diverse, with black, white, Latino, and Arab American families living near each other. Rin Farley says it's a mix of people who have chosen not to leave the area and those who can't afford to leave.
For the most part, it is low-income individuals and elderly individuals who've owned the house for 30, 40, 50 years and who are just not going to move out.
But this is not a community that's sitting still. They're vocal. People here call the State Department of Environmental Quality whenever they see something or smell something that seems out of place. Residents fought the expansion of the Marathon oil refinery and lost. The refinery expansion is underway. Dolores Leonard says she's not sure things will change, but she's also not sure she wants to leave.
I have relatives in the Rouge still. The cemetery isn't very far away. There are relatives who are buried there, and it's home.
All right. Host of the Environment Report on Michigan Radio, Rebecca Williams, joins me now from Ann Arbor. Also, WFPL Environment Reporter Erica Peterson is here. Rebecca, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And when people think of Detroit, I would think that industry is probably one of the top ideas, at least people maybe who haven't spent a lot of time in Detroit. But how prevalent overall is urban industry in Detroit?
Well, Detroit is a huge city, and there's industry spread throughout the city, but mostly southwest Detroit is the area that's especially packed with industry. And some of the people I talk to have neighborhoods, the neighborhoods they live in are surrounded by 40 different industries, everything from animal rendering facilities to steel plants, composting sites, you name it.
And the situation in Louisville is somewhat similar. There's a neighborhood near a coal plant. There's a neighborhood called Butchertown, which is near a an abattoir, essentially one of the largest in the country, I believe, that's in an urban area. Also, some very large chemical plants in an area called Rubbertown, easily identifiable there. And there have certainly been some controversies here, and we'll get to that in a minute with you, Erica. But Rebecca, Marathon Petroleum is expanding in Southwest Detroit, and they announced, is it they're offering to buy 350 homes in one neighborhood next to the refinery?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, they're offering a minimum of $40,000 plus half of what the home appraises for. And they're also offering people money to relocate and other bonuses if they sign up early. But not everybody thinks that that's enough money. And everybody seems to have kind of a price in mind for what it would take for them to move out. But also, many of the people who live in these neighborhoods are seniors. They're on fixed incomes. Many people are unemployed. And a lot of people have lived in their homes for decades, and they're just not sure they want to take on a new mortgage. So there's a lot more to the question of what it would take for people to move away and whether they really want to.
And I think that's something you see a lot. I mean, certainly here in Kentucky as well, in Appalachia, that's sort of been one of the typical, you know, things that people, no matter how bad the pollution gets, they don't want to leave, you know, their home place. I know here in Louisville, though, a bunch of people who live by the Cane Run Power Plant have said, please, you know, buy us out. We would love to leave, you know, so.
Well, these issues, are these the issues that residents have of living near the industries, the sort of issues that might inspire a company to offer these buyouts, are they ones that the government is watching out for? Are they ones the industry is watching out for? Or is it only brought up whenever the residents raise the concerns?
Mm-hmm. I think it's a mix. I mean, in Michigan, these are all regulated industries, and the State Department of Environmental Quality is the agency that's in charge of issuing permits and also the agency that's in charge of citing industries for any violations that happen. But there's kind of a twist here, and I don't know if this is similar in Louisville or not, but I interviewed a DEQ supervisor for my series, and she told me that there's something called Rule 901. This is a nuisance regulation, and it covers odor, and the DEQ can only respond if they get a complaint. So the agency really relies on residents of these neighborhoods to report to them if something smells funny or seems out of place, and it's only then that the agency can go out and investigate the source of that odor and potentially cite the company. So in some cases, they are completely dependent on the residents to let them know what's going on.
Yeah, and we have something similar here in Louisville, too, except we have an air pollution control district, which has its authority to regulate the air in Louisville, basically. And they've been using the nuisance complaints actually a lot lately. I think residents have kind of learned that that is one way that that they can get their attention by saying, you know, there's a funny smell, there's dust. And the air pollution control district here kind of has a lot of leverage where if they can prove that this smell is a nuisance to someone, regardless of whether it's dangerous or, you know, if it's impeding their quality of life, they can cite the industry and ask them to stop it.
And have there been in Detroit many illnesses reported for people living in these areas?
Yeah, it's pretty common for people to, and for years, residents here have been talking about asthma, and I have heard it cited that Detroit has the highest asthma rates of anybody, any place in the state. In terms of cancer, it's very common, as we heard in the story, for people to say, well, I know, you know, a dozen people who have died of cancer or who have cancer in my on my block. But there hasn't been formal study of that yet. The Michigan State University is just now starting to launch a cancer cluster study of the area.
Right. It seems like it would be very difficult to prove, no matter what evidence you have there, to prove that this is being that these illnesses are being caused by a nearby industry. Erica, you've reported on people who are sick living near one of the coal plants.
Yeah, and it's the same thing here. And unfortunately, the problem is a lot of times, I mean, besides the industries will deny it, but they'll point to, you know, these industries tend to be in low-income areas and they'll point to other risk factors associated with poor health. And so I think it would take a lot of time and money to have a study where you control for a bunch of things like, you know, smoking cigarettes or unhealthy eating to actually point out that, oh, it's, you know, it's the emissions from a power plant that are causing this illness.
And what happens when the industry leaves with this land where certain toxic chemicals are possibly being handled, where there's this pollution? What happens if the company decides not to be in that facility in that area anymore? Rebecca or Erica, feel free to chime
in. Erica, go ahead.
Well, I mean, the only There's a brownfield site. There are a bunch of brownfield sites in Louisville, but there's one. Blackleaf Chemical was manufacturing pesticides like DDT until about the 50s, and their site has been empty since the 70s. And it's a huge 29-acre site, you know, not too far from downtown. And they've recently discovered that the soil is contaminated. So now the EPA is there trying to clean it up, and they're investigating whether it's migrated to nearby homes. So I don't know. I mean, do you have anything similar to that in Detroit?
I don't know offhand in Detroit, but I know that, you know, we have a number of legacy pollution sites in Michigan, specifically dioxin pollution from Dow Chemical, which is a huge company here in Saginaw. And so it's something that we hear about a lot. You know, companies, there are paper mills in the Kalamazoo area that were responsible for releasing PCBs, which are known carcinogens, into the rivers around there. And these, you know, basically, it's just decades of agencies trying to get money from the companies to clean that up.
All right. Thank you very much. Rebecca Williams is host of the Environment Report on Michigan Radio. Erica Peterson is WFPL's environment reporter. Thanks both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.